too long readings, no? Let's see if we can find a connection between the first reading and the gospel. Sometimes it's difficult. The first reading is all about David, now king and successful, sees that he's living in a great palace, and the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolizes the presence of the Lord, is in a tent. It's called the tabernacle. And he says that, how is it that I'm living in the palace and our Lord is living in a tent? I'm going to go build for him a house. And the Lord says, you're going to build me a house? No. I'm going to build you a house. Kind of reminded of the, you know, little sort of a Godfather scene there. But the house has many, you know, it's not just a house, a physical house. House is a name. The house of David, it's a name. The Lord reminds David what he seems to have forgotten, that everything he is and his whole house and popularity and name is a gift from God. He didn't earn that, it's a gift. And that he should respond to that gift with gratitude and humility. And this is what's lacking in David. The Lord then, of course, tells him that someone will build a house for me, and he will be from your seed. He will be from your house. And this is both a reference to Solomon, but more importantly to Jesus. Because we all know that Solomon in the end fails. It's an interesting thing of Scripture how if Solomon, who was given wisdom beyond any other person that lives, if he fails, what hope does anybody have to not fall into temptation and to sin? And so the tragedy of the life of Solomon leaves a very dark cloud or question mark. If Solomon, with all his wisdom, can fail, my God, what hope do I have? This is something that Israel later has to deal with. And after they come out of exile, of course, after the whole decimation of this lack of rejection of God, comes the idea of something, a personification of wisdom, where we get the wisdom literature. And of course, Jesus Christ is wisdom incarnate. So it's interesting how Israel encounters that whole dilemma. And it does so in the rise of the notion of the Messiah. But back to the Scriptures. The Lord, the one heir, the true Son of God, the one who is building his house in history, which is called a church, which you and I belong to, is trying to teach the apostles something about a mystery, the mystery of the kingdom. This is why the Lord uses parables, because I'm always reminded of this one particular part where Jesus says to the crowd, and they ask him, to what can you compare the kingdom of heaven? And the response of the Lord, I see him saying, to what can I compare the kingdom of heaven? As if to say, what in this world can compare to the kingdom of heaven? And sort of, and I see the Lord saying, to what can I compare the kingdom of heaven? There's nothing this side of eternity that compares to the kingdom of heaven. And so he has to use analogies. The kingdom of heaven is like, you know, a woman that went off to search for a fine pearl. A woman who went off to and find something, right? And then now he presenting these parables, which give us a little bit of what the kingdom of heaven is like, but there's no way to to describe the majesty and the beauty of the kingdom of heaven this side of eternity. Try to describe to someone who has never seen the ocean, try to describe to them how the ocean is. You can go to the lake. Well, it's like this, you see. But the ocean is much bigger and waves and... It's not quite the same, is it? How do you describe someone with wet is, or you give them some water? Wet is like this, but that's not what plunging into the ocean is like. And these are just things of this side of eternity. Imagine the Lord trying to explain the majesty and glory of heaven to us. Only analogy, only parables. And so he presents to us this very interesting parable about the sower. There's four seeds that fall into four different types of soil. And what I want you to know that I've discovered is that the four types of soil are all us. So it isn't that some people are the ones that are have the good soil. Some people, not me, is choked. No, I live a little bit of these four realities in my own life. I have a little bit of good soil, and sometimes I bear fruit, but I also am choked by things, anxieties, the lures of the world. And I'm also shallow sometimes, and so the roots, it could be different types of in your life, right? But hopefully we're all moving toward a deeper understanding of the Lord so that we ultimately become that good soil, and then we begin to produce fruit. And that's what the main purpose of the parable is, to show us what produces fruit. The other ones don't produce fruit. Producing fruit is to save souls. The Lord tries to explain the parable to those very blessed men. The sower of the seed is the Lord. The seed is the Word of God. And Satan comes to mess that up. Which is to say that I got to be attentive. Notice, and I'll end it with this, that there's a great emphasis, again, if you underline the words that are repeated. The verb to hear is repeated. The Lord begins, "Hear this." That's important as a little flag. To hear is important. And then he says, as soon as they hear Satan, he comes at once and takes away the word sown in them. And then at the end, but those sown on rich soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it. Notice the great emphasis on hearing. We have a choice to make in our lives. To whom will we hear? Will we hear Satan? Or will we hear the Word of God? And notice how hearing then implies acceptance. The one who produces fruit is the one who hears the Word and accepts it. What does accept mean? It means that I allow myself to be possessed by it. You're familiar with the word demonic possession, right? Try to unpack that. You are possessed which means that you don't have any freedom. The demon possesses you, your actions, your will. But there's another form of possession that liberates and magnifies my freedom. And that is when I allow in my freedom to be possessed by God. In the good sense. The other sense reduces my freedom. When I allow my life to be possessed by God in the good sense, that means that I allow myself to go with the will of God for my life. And that is what produces fruit. We're all, one of the greatest challenges we have in a very materialistic world in which we live is how to deal with the desire to possess. We hear the word love a lot today. The word love for most people is to possess. And I'll never forget this when I was in my first parish assignment, my first permanent parish assignment, it was by a high school. And I will never forget a couple, a high school couple that was coming out. It was a Latino couple. It was a mainly a lot of Latinos in that area. And this one guy had his arm. One arm was grabbing onto his girlfriend with his left hand, and his right arm was over his girlfriend, and that's how they were walking. You know, he had her totally encaged. I thought to myself, what insecurity to hold somebody that way where there's no freedom. He was trying to possess her physically. And so she was just... she was not free. And that is what we see today in the world with regards to love, which is an incredible perversion of authentic love. There's two things happening there. The great insecurity, which wants to possess, and to possess is to control. And then the other side of the coin is that somehow, what leads somebody to be possessed like that? What's making that young girl allowing herself to be possessed that way? But a huge lack of awareness of her self-dignity and of who she is in the eyes of God. That she is not to be possessed by anyone but the Lord God. All of this to say that the Lord speaks to us about the importance of hearing the word of the Lord in all its multifaceted ways, through the scriptures, through the tradition of the church, through the liturgy, through spiritual reading. And to hear it means to enter into the mystery, because this is how it all begins. The mystery of the kingdom of heaven is open to you. Hear this. So let us ask the Lord in this Eucharist to increase our freedom by allowing Him to possess us. And we do that in a very real way as we go in a few moments to the Lord who is going to give Himself to us in the Eucharist. So we ask the Lord when we go to communion, Lord, possess me that I may always do your will, that I may produce fruit in my life, so that I may share all that you have given me, so that others may see and may experience this great joy of freedom of being possessed by you, where their freedom is increased where their lives are made fruitful and bountiful. This is the only hope for humanity. So we must pray and go to Him. Amen.